No, I was going to say offering.
Okay.
All right. I want to pray over our offering, but there's a couple of prayers that we need to pray. I want to pray for Irene. Hi, how are you doing? Oh, that's good to see you with your daughter.
Yes.
All right, great. I want to pray for Irene, which is Jessica's aunt. And her family, I brought them to you, but Irene is actually in the hospital, and they tested for COVID, and in fact, her daughter-in-law is pregnant with twins. We want to pray. I told them I would pray for them, and I told Nola I'm going to pray for her. And I want to pray for the Ayalas, who are here today. And their mom, they had taken her to Colorado to have a funeral service over and interned her there. And God is doing a great work in their lives, and they're giving me thumbs up. You can't see it, but it's a loss. And then my brother over here that came in, we know that you guys have experienced a loss not very long ago with your wife, and so I want to pray for you and your daughters and family. And I said that this morning in the first service, that Jesus went into a temple, and a lot of people remember this story. He made a whip, and he whipped out the money changers in the temple. And a lot of people are like, sometimes they get focused on that and say, well, you know, yeah, and Jesus was getting out to people that are trying to make profit, and they were doing bad things making profit. But this is the key. People forget what Jesus said. And Jesus said this. He said, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it. So online, and everybody, if you're wondering why I'm praying right now and I'm calling out all these people, because this is what this house is about, right? We're here to pray. I mean, if my people who are called by my name will seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and pour a blessing on them that won't have room to contain. And the first thing that we're to do is to call on the name of God. So let's call on him right now. Let's pray to God for all of these needs. Father, Lord, I lift up Nola, who just texted me this morning, Lord, and she's coughing and she has symptoms. Lord, I pray a healing in her body. Heal her, God, completely. She wants to be a part of the church. I pray you heal her right now, Lord. For Joan, Lord, that you would heal her and do a work, Lord, in her life. God, we thank you for our beautiful family, the Ayalas, Lord, and what they've been through lately, Lord. We just pray the peace of God, and we pray for the provision of God to be upon them, Lord, and for you to hug them and love them, Lord, like nobody else can. Lord, for my brother and his family, Obeth, Lord, and his family, Lord, I pray for them and their time of need. I pray financially they're taking care of, but also, Lord, that the peace of God that passeth all understanding will be upon them. And Lord, for Irene and her old family, the entire family, Lord, first of all, I come against the spirit of fear. I bind the spirit of fear right now. I pray for peace. I pray for your provision. I pray for your love, Lord, to be upon them. And Lord, right where she is in the hospital, she's in the hospital today, Lord, I pray for healing. Lord, bring oxygen to those lungs. Bring oxygen to her entire body, Lord. God, we thank you, God, for a miracle in her life, Lord, and for her daughter-in-law, for her entire family, Lord, everyone that's affected by this, we pray for healing. And God, right now, I pray for everyone in this place, Lord, and online, if they're not feeling well, and you online, if you're not feeling well, I'm glad you're online with us today, and stay there until you're well, but let's pray for healing right now. Lord, I pray for healing, complete healing, in Jesus' name, Lord. Healing from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Lord, healing in their body. We give you praise, Jesus. We thank you. It's by your blood, Jesus. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for the giving, for everyone that's given today. Bless them. Help them to be a blessing. And we just give you praise for today. Open our eyes and our ears to hear you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, for you online and for you here, next week is Father's Day. Got a present for every father. Let us know which service. We have two services, 8 a.m., 10 a.m. Just let us know. We're going to make sure we have enough wonderful, beautiful presents for you. And we went fishing, and I caught the biggest fish on this boat. So it's not always, you know, maybe a $300 pole or anything. I think this is like 10 bucks or something. But I was able to catch a 13-inch fish, but my brother-in-law caught the biggest fish. He caught a 17-inch trout. And every night, I think every night, right, we ate fish. They cooked up fish every night. For you guys that went, glad you went. If you're online, you went, great. And let me say something about our online people. Keep watching us online, and then if you feel good or you want to come, come in. But if you don't feel well, stay home and watch us online, and we're there for you, right?
Amen.
So, how many of you are doing okay? How many of you are doing great? How many of you hate to raise your hand? Anybody?
It's Jesus.
And we are living in some crazy times, but I'm so glad that I have the answer for the crazy times. Jesus is the answer. In fact, today, if you want to turn over to Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 22, and we're going to go on there, but the answer is Jesus, of course. But I want to tell you the name of this. There it is. Making known the unknown God. Making known the unknown God. That's our message today. Oh, I love you guys. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Acts chapter 17, begin with verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as an unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man." Verse 25. "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, we are indeed his offspring. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, 'We will hear you again about this.' So Paul went out from their midst." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We give you praise. Open our eyes that we can see and our ears that we can hear. We worship you and we love you. Be glorified. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, a few years ago, I had the privilege of going to Calcutta, India. Calcutta, India has a lot of people in it. I think there's about 25 million in the square footage of like the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. But one thing that people don't know too, they took me through Calcutta to a place called Kataka. And that place, they have been worshiping gods for 4,000 years. In fact, when you go in, you see reversed the symbol, like of the swastika, but it's reversed, and that symbol is like 2,000 years old. There's so much stuff that's happened that men forget about that's already happened. And now the big temple wasn't necessarily 4,000 years old. Some of it was 1,500, 2,000, but the area. So for 4,000 years, people have been going there, sacrificing. When we came, there was a goat, and they cut the goat. He was alive, and they cut him right there, blood everywhere, and they opened him up for a sacrifice. Here's the thing. The Ganges River is right there. So here's the worshiping area, and they make stairs, and the stairs go all the way down in. And there's all kinds of flowers, there's all kinds of sacrifices all the way down the stairs. And they take the water, which is green and smells, and they literally put dead bodies in there, and they bathe themselves in that water because it's holy, and they put the water on themselves as they're sacrificing, and you know, and they go on. Now to go into the temple, there's this huge line. It took an hour or so. I didn't need to be in the temple really at all. But what I thought was interesting was this. As we walked down and we got to the steps where it went in the water, they finally built a bridge, but for thousands of years there's been no bridge. But on the other side is what they term and they call the red light district. But it's a place where even 3 years ago, 3 to 4 to 5 years ago, they had 12-year-old, 10-year-old prostitute girls. And it was legal. They just legaled that when I got there about 2 or 3 years. But they still had that prostitution going on. And so that happens over there. Then you get in the boat over here. And then you get in line over here. And they do, and they said up to a year or two ago they did real sacrifice, but they said they really actually still do. They would go in there and take a baby and sacrifice. So you guys, nothing's new. Sin is not new. Sin is very old. So the prostitute would get pregnant. She takes it in and sacrifices it to one of these gods. Now, here's the thing. There wasn't one god. There was all kinds of gods. There was all kinds of images carved out. And there was some down here and some up here. And there were all kinds of weird images. I said, don't they pray to anyone? And they said, yeah, there's this one. I think it was like an elephant. And he's like wrath. And he is one that they pray to because they're afraid of him. And they'll literally cut themselves for their child or whatever, or somebody to be healed. They're afraid of this God. And the reason I tell you this is to paint the picture of where we're at with Paul right now when he's there. And that he's standing there and he's going, man, there, you know, I can imagine, because it was kind of the way with me. I'm just looking all over. Goats being killed, this being done, everybody doing something different to a different god. And I'm like, this is amazing. They have all these gods. And he's standing there looking at this, and they have so many gods, they finally had a little sign that said, oh, in case we didn't cover them all, here's to the unknown god. And Paul finally goes, jackpot. That's it. He said, I want to talk to you guys about the unknown god. Because ain't none of this my God. But I want to talk to you guys about the unknown God. Amen. So today, I want to talk to you about the unknown God. The unknown God. And this is our first point. The good news about Jesus is that he turns the world upside down. That Jesus turns the world upside down. You see, after Paul preached 3 Sabbaths, now, we just started in verse 22, but Paul in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 is preaching to these guys, and they're getting upset. They get really upset, actually, in verse 6. But he preached 3 Sabbaths and persuaded people to follow Jesus, but the Jews got very jealous. They got very upset. So 3 Sundays. Wherever he could find a temple, where Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it. So he prayed, he's telling about prayer and loving Jesus, accepting Jesus, the Messiah's come. A lot of people believed it, But the Jews who ruled that temple and were taking in offerings and stuff, they were upset. And so look at what they do in verse 6. Verse 6, it says this, "And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason, poor Jason, and some of his brothers before the city authorities, shouting, 'These men have turned the world upside down. These men have turned the world upside down.'" Does anybody feel like the world is upside down?
Always.
Okay. Always. And I have news for you. They didn't turn the world upside down. They were trying to turn the world back on right. The world is upside down. In Genesis chapter 3, it talks about the fall of mankind. And when mankind fell, the world turned upside down. A lot of times in our society, we hear about things that wrong is right. And we hear about right is wrong. And Paul was just trying to explain to them, hey, you guys, Jesus Christ has come. He has brought salvation to you. And he's turned wrong back to right. And he's turned right to right. See, this is where people get confused. They went to the synagogues. I've been in Israel, I've been to synagogues, and it's neat. They have, everybody stands. You guys would all be standing for a 2-hour service. And they read the Torah, they read the Pentateuch, they read the scriptures, and they did the right thing. But Jesus came, and they really knew about it, because half of the world had earthquakes and the sun. Even though they weren't there when Jesus happened, they knew something happened at that time. And then Jesus sent Paul, he sent Silas, and here they are telling them, okay, guys, this your right thing here at the house where you're worshiping God, now the right thing is to lift up the name of Jesus. And they did not want to accept Jesus Christ as Messiah. They refused to accept him. They wanted to do right things, but they didn't want to do it right. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? Okay, so these men have turned the world upside down. We live in an upside down world where wrong is right and right is wrong. It's time to turn the world from wrong to right and right to right. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the unknown God that we want to make known to you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nobody can come to that God except they come through his Son, whom he sacrificed. My brothers, I talk to you today for those that are online. You may love God with all your heart, but you may not believe that Jesus Christ has already come. Jesus Christ has come over 2,000 years ago. And it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will be saved. And just like Paul and Silas did, I do that to you today. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and watch the world turn from upside down to upside right. You see, the second point is this. The good news about Jesus causes us to put away false gods. The good news about Jesus causes us to put away false gods. Verse 16 says, "Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols." Full of idols. Yeah, you guys remember what I told you about going to that place, that 4,000-year temple, and all the idols. I've seen so many things and different idols sitting around. And Paul is looking at this thinking, people are praying to, and they're trying to get their power from, a false god. And today, we have the same issue. Because you see, idols, false god, we have, and I believe this is the biggest false god. You ready for it? The biggest false god that we have. The biggest false god that we have is self. Myself, I struggle with myself every day of taking myself off the throne and putting God on the throne. Every day of my life, I'm your pastor. And as a pastor, I struggle with wanting to say my things, what I think will help you, instead of saying, God, I put you on the throne, and I will let you be God. A lot of times we struggle with wanting to be God. The other one is this, others. We make others gods. We make other people. Well, the doctor is going to save me. Well, my wife is going to help me. Or my husband will be the other part that I'm missing. Instead of putting God at the top, we have the world revolve around another person. So the first two false idols can be self and can be others. The third one that I talked about in the early service and I'm talking about now is drugs. Now let me be very open with you. However long ago it was, Stephanie and I had the virus, COVID-19, and we might have went through a bottle of Tylenol. And I would do it again. I mean, and we needed, my fever was up, I was taking Tylenol. Tylenol helped us as we went through this. If there was anything else, and the doctor said I could take it, I would have took it. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? I've been in wrecks. I've hurt myself really bad. I've been given morphine. And they gave me things that actually helped me. I've taken pain medications. And those things have helped me. I can tell you this, when I was taking the Tylenol, every other 5 seconds I was going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I love you, Jesus, please. Because there's fear attached with things too when our body is hurting and when we're in trouble. But you see, the issue with drugs is when you begin to take the drug to be in place of God. So you can take Valium or you can take Vicodin, but you're taking it because you're sad or because there's something going on in your life and you begin to take that, that becomes your God and then you are bowing down to that God. In our neighborhood, we have heroin addicts, young kids that are addicted to heroin. We have people who are alcoholics who are addicted to alcohol. I deal with one lady every day. Anytime any of these things begin to elevate above God, they are a false god and they will destroy you every time. You cannot put anything above God. You see, another one that I have here is good things. Good things. You can have good things, but just because they're good things, they may not be God things. You need to put God first. Even good things are not to be exalted above God. God has to have his place. You see, Jesus is the way where there seems no way. In fact, a lot of you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But first of all, Jesus is the way when there seems no way. When you are totally confused, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I raise my hand. Right now, I'm pretty confused in 2020. I'm not sure which way to go. But when you're confused, that's okay. Jesus is the way. He opens up a way where there seems no way. And you, all you have to do is say, Jesus, it's dark. I'm confused. I don't know. Everybody's saying something else. I just want to hear you. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth when everyone else is lying and you have no idea who's telling the truth. It seems like these guys are right and these guys are right and these people are right. Do you know who's right? Jesus is right. Because Jesus is the truth. He's the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the truth. Amen. So whenever I get confused, I'm like, Jesus, you're the truth. You see, and here's the key. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the light. For you guys that are afraid right now, you're watching and maybe you're going through things, and but physically you're just able to watch online and you're sick and you don't know what the future holds. Let me tell you this. Jesus is the life even when someone has died and even when your body may be dying. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life for that loved one that you lost to bring them to life. Jesus is the life to bring you to life even though your body is fading away. I don't know what you've been through, if you've been through things where your body is hurting and where you felt, I just can't get a breath, and maybe you're listening to me and you're in the hospital and it's hard to get a breath. And Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life. Just say it in your bed or wherever you are, even here in the service. Jesus is life. He is the life. He is our life. And He will resurrect us. He is eternal life. I'm excited. Aren't you? All right. Here we go. You see, the third and final point, some of you who are going, praise God, is this. Jesus rose from the dead because of the known God. Don't miss this. This is important. Jesus rose from the dead because of the known God. Now I'm going to really try not to confuse you. Okay? And I maybe went out of frame for a minute. But let's say he came up and there's a fishing pole and it's a God. And Paul looked around and there's all kinds of, this is a God and this is a God. And there's so many gods. And God says, I'm God. I'm one. Are you ready? But I'm three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen, brother. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost. And so listen to point number three. Jesus rose from the dead because of a known God. It's real important. We're going to get there. Jesus rose from the dead because of a known God. Wait a minute. When was Jesus born? Who was God is Jesus' father. So when did Jesus get born? It says, in the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So Jesus was in the beginning. Been around for ever, for eternity. And God decided to create earth. So in the beginning was Jesus. And all things were made by Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that was made. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, eternal being, Son of God, Jesus. And God looks down on humanity. He gives humans a chance to make the right choice. They disobey, they make the wrong choice, they fall. And at that time, they're separated from God. And God kills some animals and puts their skin over them because they said, hey, we're naked, because they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they said, we're naked. He put the animal skins over them at that time, saying, somebody's going to cover your skin, your sin. There's going to be a perfect lamb that will cover you. 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus to earth inside of the person of a lady, a virgin, and He incubated, He grew for 9 months. He was 100% man. And He lived on earth for 33 years. And He came to a cross that the people put Him on because they did not want Him here. And they said, kill Him. He was murdered on a cross. His hands were nailed, His feet were nailed. Now, like I said, stay with me. This is so important. And He said on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He said this, listen, He said, Eli, Eli, sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here we are. Point number three. Jesus rose from the dead because of the known God. for his eternal existence, all he knew was God. When he came on the scene at day one, his spirit knew God. He was eternal. He was perfect. When he was 30 years old, he would talk to God. He had never been a second in eternity without the presence of God. He had always had an open communication to God the Father. That unknown God that they didn't know, Jesus always knew God. He always knew who God was. He knew him. And as he's on the tree, he decided to take, he was able to be sacrificed, he decided to take all the sins of the world. Everything, every murder, every abuse, every horrible, horrific thing that has ever been done, that you ever did, or anybody ever did, Jesus took the sins of the world on himself. And God the Father turned his back, and his presence was gone from Jesus. It was dark, and because Jesus said it. He says, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, this is important. Paul says it when he's talking to the Athenians. He says, a man took the sins, 100% man, 100% God. Jesus took the sins of the world. He took every sin that we've ever thought, he took them on himself. And in faith, Jesus says these words. After he says, Eli, Eli, sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He says, in faith, he says this. This is an important saying on that cross. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. I like to think it like this way. The camera's here, so I like to think it, you know, God turned his back, and then he says, oh, your spirit is gone? I'll raise you from the dead. Because Jesus is perfect. Jesus did not only die for your sins, but by the power of God and the authority that he gave to Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ went down and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, as Jesus came back, God gave him the authority and the power to be resurrected in his physical body, and the stone was rolled away, and Jesus is alive. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Here's the point that I'm making in number three. Jesus rose from the dead because of the God he knows. Today, you might be suffering. You might be questioning. You might be discouraged. Remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You might not be hearing God. You might not even know God. But let me tell you this. God gave his Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God makes known himself to you through Jesus Christ. And I've got a little bit more for you. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And that Spirit cries out to you this morning. God loves you. Call on a God, and he will make himself known to you. For you that are online, and then for you that are here, in a minute we're going to go into communion. But before we do that, I just want to give you a chance to accept God into your life. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you've had a lot of false gods, other things above in your life. But this morning, it's time for you to accept the Lord. It says in the Bible, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, online, and those that are here, Just do this with me. Just say, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. I confess you as my Savior and Lord. I repent for my sins. And I follow you all the days of my life. Amen. If you've done that this morning, let us know if you're online. And if you're here, let us know. We'd love to give you some materials and to help you. And like I said, maybe at home you're doing communion. You just get some bread and some juice. And let's all observe communion together. Today, I want you to know there's healing in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. His body was broken so that we could be whole. It says, by his stripes we are healed. The flesh was ripped and it bled, and Jesus died for your sins. He died for you. So I want you to just see that this morning, that Jesus Christ has died and his body was broken for you so that you could be whole. Would you take that which represents his body now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your body that was broken for us. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then it says that on the same night that he was betrayed, that he did lift that cup and he said, this is my blood that I shed for the remission of sin. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. And too much is forgiven. Much is required. We're forgiven so that we can forgive. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Will you take that with me this morning? That was represented.